We are now recording, which we can always edit this part out.
Great.
Let's get started. I have written a...
This is the best bit.
Sorry?
This is probably going to be the best bit.
Thank you, yeah. Adam, for your vote of confidence there.
Oh, no, that wasn't anything to do with confidence. Just this is the bit that's going to be funny. The rest of it's going to be like, you know, proper conversation.
Well, I hope the rest of the conversation can be funny too, or at least entertaining.
We can try.
There's no try.
Hello, everybody. This is the first episode of the Ice Cream for Everyone podcast. My name is Willem. I'll be your host for the show. This is pretty raw. There's actually nothing to start the show just yet. There's no music, no nothing. But this is part of the idea is we're going to be discussing what this podcast should really be about. I'm a marketing and advertising professional, strategic planner, and as I said, the host on the show. Basically, one of the things I do as a strategic planner is I take a business problem, a marketing problem, and research how to get to a certain point. There's an objective. I discuss with a client or marketing professional what their objective is, how they want to communicate to who they want to communicate, and help them figure out the best way to get there. And I'm kind of applying this to the podcast is the idea. I've been thinking about doing an audio video show for a little while now, and I did a few test runs on an idea called Beers and Billboards with a friend in Singapore last year. I recently recorded a couple of audio podcast episodes about tabletop role-playing games with a friend in France who runs it. And given I recently started my own business as an independent consultant, I wanted to find a way to keep in touch with all my contacts in advertising because I've lived in Singapore, I've lived in London, I've worked with people from around the world. I keep in touch with them via blogging, via Twitter, and I wanted to have another structure to do that. And looking at that, I thought, okay, so what could I do for my own audio podcast? And my blog is already called Ice Cream for Everyone, so for now I'm calling the podcast Ice Cream for Everyone. So that's the idea. So what should it be about? And generally, my job is like, let's go and research and talk to some people who do that. And I'm lucky enough to have a few friends in London who listen to audio podcasts, who've joined me for this episode so that we can all talk about what are people interested in audio podcasts, how does it work, and what this show should be about. So I'm joined with Lauren, Adam, and James in London. You want to quickly introduce yourselves, please?
In that order.
Well, no, any order you want is totally okay. Actually, I'm going to specify something else. So it'd be great if you can say, well, obviously I've mentioned your names, but where you're from or what you do for a living, anything else you want to say about yourself. And also generally when we're doing, in my job, when we're doing audience and market research, we usually look at people not only as individuals, but as the group that they represent for like a panel. So this would be a discussion panel. And I might look at you for, because you're listening to podcasts or because you're male and female, you're part of a certain age group or socioeconomic group.
Well, I'll go first because I now think of Generation X. In Generation X, it says, there's a little box that says, you are not a target market. Now I feel like I'm a target market, thanks to your description. So my name's James D'Souza. I work as a teacher. I've been doing that for about 10 years. I teach business studies, economics and psychology. And I've been blogging and writing since 2005 as well. On jamesdesouza.blogspot.co.uk, and I have dailyinsight.net as well, and I've also been published on goodmenproject.com writing about schools and teaching. I love reading fiction and self-development, usually one book at the same time. I just finished reading The Martian, and I'm reading Thinking Fast and Slow at the moment, and I regularly listen to Tim Ferriss's podcast, although I've listened to Dave Asprey's Bulletproof podcast as well. But I really like the Tim Ferriss's format of his podcast, and I've read all his books, and I think they're great. But the other interesting thing about me, I think, is that before I was a teacher, I worked in media planning, specifically data planning. And when I started, there were three of us in data planning. And when I left in 2003, there was 24 of us. The whole purpose of what we did was to take all the data we could find, make sense of it, and then use that to build effective communication strategies for our clients. And I think that the importance and use of data cannot be underestimated at all. And yes, I'm a target market. Yes, Willem wants to talk to us because of who we are, what we represent, our age group, all of that business. But the information data that's collected about us, I think, is incredibly important. And it's so important in teaching as well. It's used in teaching all the time. And interpreting data, I think, is really important. And using it's really important. But it's everywhere. Data is everywhere and it's being used all the time.
Cool.
Kind of scary, but that's me.
Thank you, James. And I'll add all the links once the episode is published. I'm redesigning my own website right now, so hopefully I'll coincide publishing this episode with relaunching the website as well. And I'll add the links of all the different, well, all the links that we mentioned during the episode, yours and others.
Cool.
Lauren, Adam?
Yeah. So my name's Lauren. I am from London. I live here in London. I've had a big change in my life recently. I was working as a banking lawyer in the city for close to 10 years, straight out of uni and law school, and was very much kind of just on a slightly blinkered career path, never really questioning what I really wanted to do, just thought that that would be a good job and that, you know, I would be successful in that. And it basically culminated in me leaving that job at the beginning of this year, January 2015, for various reasons. Firstly, on a fundamental level, it kind of just made me ill. I was completely exhausted. I had depression and it just wasn't working for me. But I also started to get into a lot of self-development. And so I realized that this was really not what I wanted to do. And I wanted to devote my life to something a bit more meaningful. So, it's been all changed for me really in the last 6 months, and I've been blogging about it on reinventation.wordpress.com. It was when I left the law, I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I've since discovered that what I want to do most is help others go through the kind of process that I went through, really, just to realize that, you know, maybe what they're doing is not necessarily their true calling in life, really, and figuring out what it is they want to do and then facilitating that change in their life. So I'm actually training. I'm on a professional coach training program at the moment, and I'm going to be, I guess, building my business from the ground up, my coaching business from the ground up. And, I've still got a lot of work to do on who it is I really want to coach, what my niche is going to be. And, you know, in this whole process, I have listened to a lot of podcasts. Again, I listened to Tim Ferriss's podcast a lot, and I also listened to James Altucher's podcast, although these guys tend to have the same guests on there, but, you know, you always get different, there's always a different interviewing style. And I've listened to the School of Greatness podcast as well with Lewis Howes, and I follow Marie Forleo, who does less podcasting and more, actual videos. But I love listening to these guys to pick up some really great tips on how to build a business, how to make adjustments in your life so that you're effective in all areas of your life, really. And, I've started to adopt a few of those things that maybe, you know, we can talk about if this podcast goes on to take that direction. I don't know. So, and the other thing that I love is I live near Hampstead Heath, which is, for those of you not based in London, it's a very large, heathy park that I go walking on, several times a week. And, you know, I love walking, and I never had the time to do that when I was working full out as a lawyer. So a lot of the time I listen to these podcasts when I'm actually out walking, and I don't know whether that adds a certain different experience to listening to the podcast, but it's certainly something that I love to do for a personal reason for me. So,
for those who don't know, how would you qualify what heathy is?
Look it up in the dictionary.
Really?
I don't know. Heath-like.
Huh?
Heath-like.
Heath-like. Nothing to do with Ledger. Heath-like.
Oh, no. Just a bit gorsy and...
What?
Hampstead Heath is heathy and heath-like and gorsy.
Is it Hampstead-like as well?
No, not really. Just happens to be in Hampstead.
Okay.
It's like an urbanized version of Dartmoor.
Yeah, that's a good description. There are no horses there, though.
I don't think there's a lot of trees on the moor, though. There are some...
That's the point of a moor, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's trees on Hampstead Heath.
Well, maybe that's what makes it heath.
Maybe.
Rather than a moor. It's not moory.
Or it's
heathy.
Is it Moorish?
It's very Moorish.
All right. Was that it, Lauren? Sorry.
I I think I should stop talking now.
There was also a point where I feel I have to mention that people can't hear your or can't see your air quotes. So you have to specify. I don't know. We have to find a way. Is there a convention on audio podcasts when you're being ironic or being air quotes? Do you say air quotes?
So, no, sometimes people have said air quotes that I've heard. Sometimes people just say quote unquote.
Yeah, but why would you use air quotes in the first place?
The same reason you play air guitar? I don't know.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Except air guitar's cool.
Air quotes are for geeks.
That's good, because we all are.
So are podcasts.
Except for Lauren, who hasn't accepted she's one yet.
I'm actually the only non-geek on this podcast.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. All right, shall I introduce myself then?
Yes, please, Adam.
So my name's Adam. I'm 35. I also live in London here with Lauren near Hampstead Heath, which is both heathy and heath-like. What I do for a living is I teach circus skills and run a small circus school in North London. I've taught circus skills for all of my adult life. I graduated from what's now the National Centre for Circus Arts. Back then it was called Circus Space, and became a performer and teacher, and very quickly realised that performing wasn't really something that I was passionate about. It was something that I thought I should do because that's what circus artists did. So I did. And it was a lot of struggle and a lot of effort for a lot of years until at some point I realized that I didn't have to do that. I could actually do what I was much more interested in, which was teaching. And so I decided to stop performing in 2008, I think was the last time I performed, and started to concentrate on teaching. That's one of the things that spurred me to create Airborne Circus, my circus school, and things have been much more enjoyable since then. Let's see, what else? You kind of mentioned the subgroups and subcultures that we're part of, Willem. And like, if you look at the podcast that I listen to, like, I also listen to Tim Ferriss' podcast and the Dave Asprey's Bulletproof podcast, but I also listen to Jimmy Moore and his podcasts, which are Livin' La Vida Low Carb and Ask the Low Carb Expert, which are often quite technical podcasts, interviews with doctors, nutritionists, functional medical experts in all sorts of different fields who, because I keep a low carb diet, a paleo diet, and often quite an extreme end of that, which is a ketogenic diet, which most people aren't familiar with. So essentially that's a low carb and high fat diet, which is, it kind of flies in the face of what everybody knows about diet, but is starting to become a little bit more, I don't know about accepted, but noticed at the very least. So that's one of the other kind of subcultures that I move in. I surprisingly know a lot of people who are in that, which it never ceases to amaze me that I know half a dozen people who keep a high fat diet.
Do you want to tell us just quickly a little bit more about just for all the people who might not know exactly why that's extreme? I mean, it sounds like it might be, but just a typical day of what you're eating.
It's basically only extreme insofar as the common knowledge for the last 50 odd years and the medical guidance for the last 40, 50, 60 years is that fat causes it, dietary fat, eating fat will give you heart attacks. So people have avoided eating fat, spurring a low-fat food industry. And so the notion of eating fat and that being healthy is controversial in certainly in the face of the current guidance. But the research that's coming out of, in fact, the research that's kind of always been there but has been sidelined a lot, and the research that's currently being done and in that area is showing that actually fat isn't bad for you in the way that it was demonized to be, but actually it's carbohydrates and raised blood sugar and raised and consistently and constantly raised insulin levels that could be the underlying factor in a lot of things like obesity, heart disease, diabetes, even Alzheimer's and neurological disorders. So fat's starting to become preferred source of calories for a lot of people. And there's quite a big movement around the world for eating good fats, which really are most fats apart from trans fats, you know, even saturated fat. So that's And so if you look at the books that I've been reading recently and the things that I've been reading, as well as listening to Jimmy Moore's podcast and some other podcasts like Dave Asprey's, who's another proponent of the low-carb, high-fat diets, you know, I've been reading a lot of Gary Taub's work, his small book, Why We Get Fat, as well as his 600-page tome, which is Good Calories, Bad Calories in the States. And I think it's, what's it called here? The Diet Delusion in the UK. So I've been reading a lot of his stuff. I'm just in the last 50 or 100 pages of Good Calories, Bad Calories at the moment.
I was really hinting at the fact that you eat loads of butter.
Oh, massive amounts of butter and massive amounts of eggs and particularly egg yolks.
What do you eat your butter with?
Ordinarily, I'd have it with anything that I'm eating. I actually don't have... I'm drinking coffee at the moment, and I would normally have coffee with butter in it, but I don't at the moment. I don't know why I didn't put coffee in it. I think I was trying to get over to the computer for the podcast quicker, so I didn't put butter in the coffee. But whatever I'm eating, you know, whether it's meat or vegetables or dates or nuts, it'll have butter added to it. Grass-fed butter.
Grass-fed butter is important.
Yeah, Kerrygold most of the time.
By the way, thanks for the brand plug-in.
That's okay. If people are going to go out and they're going to eat butter, they should be eating good butter. So Kerrygold's the one that's readily available.
Because we had that conversation and I'm in France and I started looking at the fat content of the butter here, but I didn't find a way to distinguish what grass-fed was as a distinction on the labels on the butter. I don't think there is there.
Most of the time it isn't. Most of the time you've actually got to contact the companies that produce it or speak to the farmers directly, which is something that I've started to do. Yeah. I'm sort of ashamed to say. You know, I've done that 2, 3, maybe 4 times now.
See, this is the kind of extreme behavior that I find interesting in like what would be called like the world of being a consumer, talking to what kind of people, you know, what is this world of being a high-fat, extreme diet person? And it's... Anyway, let's moving on. I think that would be for a conversation for another time. But it's fascinating that, you know, that you would call a company to find out about that.
Yeah, I mean, most packaging has a customer care phone number, and most of the time we ignore it. And if I haven't been able to get Kerrygold, and there's been another butter available, I want to know if it's something that I should be eating. So I started calling, and sometimes it's taken an email or 2 or 3 emails back and forth. You know, it might have taken a week to get the answers that I really want about what the cows are actually fed. Are they fed? Are they pastured out in the field eating grass, or are they fed out of a trough eating grains? And there's all sorts of crap that goes in there. I don't want to raise that right now, but there's a lot of stuff that goes in there. Also, another question, which I don't know if we got an answer to, but I noticed I just said a mild curse. I don't know if we're allowed to curse. Like, is that going to be bleeped out? Should we watch our language, or is that appropriate on this?
No, I think, we touched on it via email yesterday. I don't have any particular rules. I think a couple of swear words are going to come out, but they might, but I'm not going to particularly like encourage it for the sake of it. I don't think it's necessary at all times, and a few might come out. I tend to swear quite a bit, so if I'm not really watching it, it might come from time to time, but I think it's okay.
What's interesting is that I will now ask Adam if particular brand of butter are grass-fed. I just let him tell me. And I've got other friends in my life that I know about stuff. So I'll ask them about stuff when I'm trying to make a decision about it, because I too have butter in my coffee and I tend to have quite a bit of butter, but I don't think I'm as kind of extreme as Adam. But I will, because I know he's done the research, I'll listen to what he says and then use that in my own way.
Absolutely.
Which is a really interesting way, because I get asked about specific things that I'm into. I get asked a lot about mobile phone and Android and apps. Even, I suppose, books about particular topics as well. But it's interesting how the knowledge gets moved around just because you've got someone who's an extremist.
Yeah.
Not so extremist.
Absolutely. Actually, just redirecting the conversation, changing a little bit. You've all mentioned some of the podcasts that you do listen to. How did you start listening to them? Is it because you were looking for something in particular? Or were you already listening to other like radio shows, or how did you come across them?
I started listening. I think the first one that I started listening to might have been Tim Ferriss's podcast, or it might have been something on his blog that pointed to a podcast. And So that was definitely one of the first ones that I started listening to. The other one that I started listening to was Hardcore Histories, or Hardcore History, I think it's called, by Dan Carlin, which kept on coming up on the top 10 podcasts to listen to. So I started listening to that, and he's not a historian per se. He doesn't consider himself a historian. He's more of a history buff and a storyteller. So he's got these very, very long podcasts that are 2-3-4 hour podcasts and often run into the 2-3-4-5 in a series. So you might have 4 or 5 3-4 hour podcasts all about the same topic, like there was one about the Khans in Mongolia, like Genghis Khan, and it was fascinating. It was just so interesting, and I got really into listening to them. That was one of the very early ones, and then I started going through these top 10 lists of podcasts and things like that, and just going, oh, that sounds kind of interesting, and that sounds kind of interesting, and as I listened to one, they'd mention something else, and then I might listen to an episode or two of that, and if it grabbed me, I might subscribe to it and continue listening to it. And as I got more into podcasts, which has really only been over the last couple of years, I started to look for information that way. So when I wanted to find something, I, as well as looking at Google, I searched the podcast for things on that topic, which has been a really interesting way of discovering information, because I'm, you know, if, you know, I went to the doctor recently for some blood tests, and when I got my results, I wanted to know more about those results. So I'd go and I'd search for, I don't know, thyroid function or something like that, which is not something I have any information about, any knowledge about. And hitting Google, one of the things that often comes up first and foremost are the standard ways of thinking and looking at things. And with the diet that I keep, not necessarily the most useful things, because, you know, the body reacts differently when you put different things in it. So looking for podcasts and looking for who's talking about what and who the experts in their field are has been very, very interesting. And I've come across people like Chris Kresser, who I can't remember what the name of his podcast is. RHR Radio, Revolution Health Radio, I think it is. And so, you know, that was a really interesting one to come across. And then it turns out that other people know about him, like Lauren here has a book of his on the bookshelf in the kitchen, which I had no idea about. You know, so it's been a very interesting way to discover information, and a new route to discover information for me.
And when you say you look for them on the podcast, what platform are you using to like search them?
If it's I've got an iPhone and an iPad, so I search through Apple's podcast app.
iTunes.
I guess it's linked into iTunes, but the app on the iPhone is a different app. There's a podcast app and an iTunes app.
Okay, cool.
But if it was on the computer, it would be looking through iTunes on the computer. It's integrated into the software there.
And you mostly listen like from your phone or your computer or both? Or
I mostly listen from my phone because I mostly listen while I'm traveling. Yeah. On the tube, on the bus, even in the car, I'll listen to it through my phone, through a Bluetooth headset while I'm driving. Yeah. If I'm at home, it'll be through my phone or my iPad. I don't normally play through my computer.
Which sounds like, is it the same case for you guys? It sounds like that's the kind of normal thing to do with the phones. You're listening while you're traveling or doing something else or driving, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I listen, like I've mentioned, when I'm out walking on the heath, but also
the heathy heath,
but also when I'm, you know, traveling, driving especially, I never listen to the radio anymore. I mean, the way that I have you finished? Shall I start talking about how I started listening to podcasts? I got my first iPhone at the beginning of this year, so that was really exciting for me. Having been a lawyer for 10 years, then I was on the old BlackBerry for a long time. So I had been slightly introduced to the world of podcasting via Adam, Hardcore History, for instance, which I think he put on last summer when we were on holiday in France, when I think we'd had an argument and he didn't want to talk to me. So we listened to that in the car. And
sounds about right.
And I think that you played some of Ramit Sethi's podcast as well, which I think I fell asleep to in the car. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, you know, that was last year and I was like, podcasting? What's this podcast thing? I either listen to the radio or music. When I got my iPhone at the beginning of this year, then I started listening to a podcast, and I can't remember exactly how I how I found it, but I started listening to the Startup podcast by Alex Bloomberg, which was awesome. I loved that. And in one of, what's funny, actually, in one of his episodes, he, just for those who aren't familiar with the first series of Startup, Alex Bloomberg was starting up a podcasting company, business, and he was podcasting about starting this up. So it was really interesting. And he started talking in one episode about a podcast called Serial, which I think probably most people on the planet have heard of now. Everyone's shaking their head.
No, I've never heard of it.
It's funny. So when he started talking about it, he said, oh, well, Serial's been at the top of the podcast charts, iTunes, or, you know, whatever, however they measure it, for months and months. And he actually said on his podcast, I can't, if anyone hasn't heard of Serial, can you tweet me right now? Because I can't believe no one's heard of Serial. Because he was kind of up against, he was thinking how to make his podcast better. And he was so obviously comparing himself to the number one spot. He used to work for This American Life, which is another podcast that I sometimes listen to. The Sarah Koenig, the woman who created Serial, created that in association, I think, don't want to misrepresent this, but in association with This American Life. And Alex Bloomberg, Sarah Koenig both worked together. They knew each other. So he wasn't doing it in any way like a malicious thing, but he was just like, hey, my friend's gone and created this awesome podcast that everyone in the world is listening to. How can I make my podcast better? And what he got from the next episode of Startup, he said, oh my God, I got so many tweets from people saying, Serial? What's Serial? I've never heard of this. So funnily enough, I hadn't heard of Serial at the time either, but it did prompt me to go and listen to it. And
become addicted to it.
And become completely addicted to it. Like, I think everyone who listens to it became completely addicted to it.
Do you think we should talk about, like, how come nobody's ever heard about this particular podcast we're recording right now?
Yeah, I know.
Shocking, right?
It is. It's crazy. How come nobody knows about it?
So I listened to Serial, got addicted to that. And then that's really when my addiction to podcasts started. So I started listening to Tim Ferriss's podcast a lot, just because, you know, I'd read a couple of his books and Adam was always going on about him. And so I thought he had some interesting stuff to offer up. And really, that's how I find, you know, the people that he's got such interesting people who can contribute so much that he interviews on his podcast, that I find people through, I generally tend to find people through him. So Sam Harris is another one. Tim Ferriss interviewed Sam Harris, and then I went off to listen to Sam Harris's podcast. Tim Ferriss interviewed James Altucher, and I went off to listen to James Altucher's podcast. So that's really how I find interesting podcasts to listen to. I don't tend to search for them or look at the iTunes podcast app, probably in the same way that Adam was saying.
So you talked about addiction. Like, how many hours a week do you spend listening to podcasts?
I would say probably about, I mean, it depends what I'm doing.
Sure.
But on average, like 5 to 10 hours a week, I'd say.
Oh, wow. Cool. And is it, all right, cool, great. Is it any particular length, or you don't care about length, or?
I prefer the longer ones, actually. It's funny. Like, I don't, there are a few that are 15, 20 minutes, and I just think, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I like the long ones where people go really in depth, and I get a real sense of flavor of the person who's talking, and you get some really like meaty bits of information as well. And I love the digging down into the detail, and you know the kind of questions that are asked by these guys are just, I'm talking about podcasts that interview people now, but you know they're really incredible questions. So. Yeah, the longer one, the longer the better, really.
Okay. Can I jump in on that?
Sure.
I normally prefer the longer ones as well, you know, an hour or longer. The only exception to that for me is because I listen to podcasts mostly when I'm traveling. If I've got a short journey, like half an hour or something like that, which is fairly typical here in London, if, you know, I walk out of the door and I've got to get somewhere that's only a half an hour away, I want something short and snappy. But most of the time, the kind of topics that I'm listening to and the kind of podcast that I'm listening to don't fit into that. It's hard to get something that's interesting enough and isn't superficial or just scratching the surface of something in anything shorter than 45 minutes or something.
Got it.
Yeah. James, do you have any like preferred length or
And I'm just thinking about everything you said. And I didn't really... the way I came into podcasting is similar to books. So it's all about who do I know, who do I trust, what are they recommended? Or I read a lot of articles online. They all kind of overlap and there's lots of connections between them. And the reason I got into Tim Ferriss's podcast was because of his books and his blog. His blog was interesting and I'd read it, but the podcast, I was never really stumbled across podcasting at all. I hate iTunes so much. I think it's a pile of rubbish. I can't stand that piece of software. And I use Android as a phone, so iTunes isn't even a thing for me. Top 10, I don't really care. But if somebody says something, like, so if Adam says, "Oh, have you checked out this book called Good to Great?" I'll read it. Or if I get the other thing that I do a lot is multiple recommendations from people I know. So I use almost exactly the same as Lauren. Oh, very good. I haven't got a copy of it.
Sitting right here next to us.
Exactly like Lauren said, listening to one podcast made her think of other people to listen to. So it was very similar to me. I listened to who Tim Ferriss interviewed, and then I'd go and investigate other stuff. In fact, the fiction book I just finished reading, The Martian, Tim Ferriss was talking about with one of his guests. So I went and read it. But equally, one of my colleagues recommended it too. So then I was like, oh, I have to read it.
Yeah, I know a couple of people are reading it. And plus, well, I've seen the trailer with the new movie coming out, the adaptation with Matt Damon, right? Is it that one?
I heard that they were making it into a film. And the book's great. But it's that I love that idea of going on recommendations. So I'll also ask my mum what she's reading and how read what she reads as well. And with the podcast, a lot of it comes down to habit for me as well. So I'm a teacher. I'm on summer holidays. I've hardly done any listening to any podcasts. Because most of the time I listen to podcasts is when I'm driving to and from school.
Right.
So, and it used to be I would listen to the radio, then I'd get annoyed with the radio, so I'd start listening to instrumental music. And then now it tends to be a podcast that I listen to when I'm driving to and from work. And sometimes it takes half an hour, sometimes it takes 40 minutes, but it's become a habit.
Yeah.
There are two podcasts I really want to listen to. One, Tim Ferriss is interviewing Maria Popova about starting a blog and making a blog really successful. And I haven't listened to it because I haven't been in the car. But I've got a long journey today and I've got a couple of short journeys today in the car, so I'll be listening to them in the car. And I think what the two other things about the content is that if there's a known person, someone whose content I've read about, I'm much more likely to trust the podcast. Now, I haven't got into Dave Asprey as much. I've listened to the odd podcast, but I feel like I have to have I've got a relationship with Tim Ferriss because I read books. It's for me, it's much more that I feel like I'm having a conversation with them or listening to a conversation in a room or like being at Q&A. Why I like the podcast. And the other thing I like about podcasts is a bit what Adam and Lauren both said about long-form content.
Mm.
I love reading articles and I love reading books. And podcasts, I think, is an extension of a book or a really well-researched article. And I don't mind doing it.
Interesting. So
I'll listen to it and then pick it up where I left off. And even more funny than that, I've noticed sometimes I can't find the right point where I was in the podcast. So I'll scrub back trying to find out where was I. And then I'll listen to the podcast and I'll remember where I was driving when I listened to that part of the podcast if I've listened to it before. And mate, Lauren's kind of nodding. Maybe it happens that if you listen to a podcast again, you remember where you were on the heaty heat.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. I have exactly that.
But I can't just sit and listen to a podcast. I have to be doing something else. But I can't listen to it on the tube. I find it too loud. And I can't listen to it when I'm in the kitchen because I need to be concentrating. So I find I've got to be doing something else. It has to be headphones.
Noise cancelling headphones for the tube.
Yeah, obviously my headphones aren't very good.
Yeah.
Get new headphones.
Yeah, I made the smart decision to get a pair of
headphones. I need some noise cancelling headphones, obviously.
Yeah.
Headphones, not earphones, like proper.
Lauren and I both got some noise cancelling headphones last year when we were in the States. We managed to get a fantastic deal on them. We both got Bose headphones, although I'm not actually 100% sure if that's how it's pronounced, Bose or Bose. That's Lauren's. Lauren's are on ear, mine are over ear. But they're both noise cancelling. They're great for travelling, whether it's on the tube or on a plane or whatever. Being on an aeroplane is great. Sometimes I'll just put them on, switch them on, drown out the background noise and go to sleep without listening to anything.
Yeah, I do the same. It's definitely a good investment for enhancing your podcast listening experience.
But you wouldn't do that, use those when you drive?
No, definitely not. Anyone listening to this podcast, don't use... headphones when you drive.
Yeah, I've bought a very cheap Bluetooth headset so I can drive, and it works really well. They're not massively comfortable, but I don't really care because I'll be in the car for 40 minutes listening to a podcast.
Could you not drive before you bought the Bluetooth headset?
Well, I did, but I've got these wired ones. It's such a pain when I'm driving.
Well, weird, so I can never find anything that fits in my ear properly. I've only found this brand that works, Monster.
I love a good dangling modifier joke.
Dangling modifier?
Yeah, look it up. Dangling modifier.
Wow, I didn't know there was a name for that. I didn't know the name for that.
What the hell is dangling modifier?
It's that. Look it up. I'm not wordy enough to be able to distinguish it, but
no, it's what Lauren just did, right?
Yeah, it's exactly what Lauren just did. You said what you said about being able to drive with headphones, and it left a modifier dangling that Lauren picked up on and adjusted how it was heard.
I didn't know that was called like that. That's awesome.
I do that all the time.
I didn't know that that's what... Yeah, you do. You really do. So do I. And I didn't know it was called that until it was referenced in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, they mentioned it in there?
Yeah.
Can't remember that. I'm going to have to watch it again.
I'm going to have to watch it again.
I'm going to have to start doing dangling modifiers deliberately.
I mostly do them deliberately if I do them, I think. Anyway, back to the thing. So, James, a question I wanted to ask is: you said you don't use iTunes. I'm not crazy about it either, and I have an Android phone. And
see,
I
that's because we're clever. We use Android. We don't have a dry phone.
I'm not going there right now. I intend for a lot of people who own iPhones to listen to this podcast. So, we'll keep that conversation for another time. We can have a special panel about that. But what do you use? Do you just listen to the tracks directly from the website, or do you use another app? Or
I download it to my phone because okay. On an Android phone you can just copy the MP3 to wherever you like really easily. So I just, well, to be fair, Tim Ferriss sends an email. I just download it straight to my phone with an email.
Yeah.
Or if it's on my computer, I download it to Dropbox. Just move to
yeah.
My phone.
I started using Stitcher. Which is a podcasting reference website and application on all devices. So it acts like iTunes was supposed to or did a while back, but does it a lot better and only for podcasts.
Because I've been looking for a decent podcast app and I can't find one. I tried using a couple and it was horrific.
Try Stitcher. Yeah. It works pretty well.
I have to be really careful. I think it was Dog Catcher or something. But the other thing I have to be really careful of is that I'll have too much to consume and
yes.
As a consumer.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason I've unsubscribed to so much stuff and I tend to listen to Ferriss's podcast. Otherwise yeah. I just drown.
Yeah. That's one of the problems. All right, cool. Well, getting back on podcasts, so like talking about those, this is great. Thank you for sharing all of this. It's really, really interesting on everything how you're listening to podcasts. And as I said, I'm using Stitcher right now most of the time and I'm testing a few different podcasts and I've been listening to different podcasts. So this podcast is, I mean, primarily what I'm thinking, and this could still change and it's flexible because this is like first episode and part of the research of what this is going to be about, really. The first idea and the first kind of audience I'd like to attract is to make sure that it's interesting for marketing and advertising professionals and also interesting for people who are listening to podcasts at large, which is, as I said at the beginning, why I'm talking to you today. So I've been listening to a few different podcasts around marketing. It seems to be the main concept, if you will, of shows around marketing are not wildly different from any others, but there's a few like the Beancast, there's Marketing Over Coffee, there's a few others. But generally, the format seems to be that it's a talk show. So like, you know, a panel of people talking about what are the latest news around marketing and advertising, either this latest campaign or how the Apple Watch is or what's going on with this startup or Facebook ads and people commenting on the news, which is certainly one viable way to go about things. So that's one thing I've noticed around marketing. What my idea is or was, or the one that I'm mostly considering that I'd really, really like to do is something like what we're doing now, which is a lot of my job tends to be to talk to people and try to keep my sense as much as possible on what's happening with people in a variety of different areas. So researching different businesses and different types of audiences to be able to understand what drives people to buy, well, the Bose headset that you have, or, you know, if I have one day a competitor headset constructor or even Bose asking me, like, how do I sell the new headset? Then I'll go and talk to people who listen to music, who are into music, and et cetera. So I'm thinking it'd be really, really interesting to have different panels of people who are into specific sets that I just kind of make up and kind of make up a fake or a real audience research brief, and then go and talk to people who are into specific things and find out about them, really. So that's one thing I'd really like to do. Now, I know the challenge on the other hand is, or might be, finding new people to talk to every week might be a big challenge. Or I'm saying every week or every how often I'm doing it, I don't know.
Well, maybe you could specialize in an audience.
Okay.
And then look at all the products that go with that audience. Because the three of us are, you know, good-looking, intelligent, geeky.
Charming. Charismatic,
yeah. Well-read, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Not of average IQ.
physically aware.
Yeah, very attractive.
Completely arrogant.
Speak for yourself. You know, but it's lifestyle designers, like all that into. There's definitely a certain set of conversations that we have that I'm sure marketers would be interested in. Because, I mean, Adam with the diet, like, just seems like we're at the bleeding edge of stuff. I don't know if we're early adopters of any particular product or not, but I think it would be that really interesting. That's why I said early adopters.
Yeah.
I think that might be something interesting on this podcast. Here's this audience. What are they thinking right now? What's going on with them? What's the zeitgeist with them? Mm. Which products are they using? Which brands are they interested in? Which websites do they go to? I'm sure there'd be some people really interested in that.
I agree. And plus, I mean, I think it could be fun like that as well. And it could be enjoyable to just keep having these conversations. There's another idea that I had, I mean, or something that I quite like, and it could be alternating different panels that I talk to, like what you said, but I'd like to have people from different episodes with people from around the world, because I've traveled and worked in different parts of the world. So I think it'd be great to have different themes or topics and perspectives from, well, you guys in London, and then I could talk to like a panel of people in the same time zone as Singapore, like Singapore, Malaysia, Hong Kong, China, like that. And I know enough people over there that would have very interesting and maybe differing views. I don't know. And maybe another panel like in the US, for example. Do you think that would be quite interesting? And the same topic so that we can compare and talk about how things are viewed from one part of the planet to another.
I would listen to that. I love that.
Yeah?
I love that stuff because all my sister and I ever talk about a lot when we're having a chat is it gets down to how our perspective is different because of our cultural background.
Mm.
And it's so interesting seeing how it's all different across the world.
Mm.
It's also one of the things that you're really strong at, James, which is connecting ideas and connecting conversations and your ability to see the links in things. And, you know, take a piece from this idea or this model or this conversation or this book or this podcast and put it together with something that's almost totally unrelated, but in a way that works. Really, really well. You know, I'm trying to think of an example, like getting things done with using Evernote, you know, and creating your own system that blends the two ideas or platforms. And that's probably a pretty bad example, but.
Well, I think I should mention the StrengthsFinder because.
Yeah.
That was.
Of course, that's what made me think of as well. Yeah.
Because my top strength is connectedness. And there's the book.
There's the book.
You can see that on the podcast.
No, but well, I'll put the link to StrengthsFinder. And it's funny because you said that, Adam, and like one of my main strengths is ideation, which is like connecting ideas together as well.
Right.
There was something that I was going to say a bit earlier about. It's just interesting to realize that all of the podcasts that I certainly listen to emanate from the States. And, you know, it's obviously something that's really starting off over there more than, I don't know, say over in the UK. Not that I've particularly researched it, so maybe there are a lot of people who produce podcasts in the UK, but certainly the ones that I listen to do all emanate from the States. So it was just, you know, when you're talking about the different geographical areas, it's just something that, you know, I picked up on as well. And there was another point that I wanted to say about some of the things, and you know, linking together this conversation about StrengthsFinder and listening to podcasts only really when we're on the move and things like that. You know, knowing particularly Adam and James and knowing how they they seek out detail and information to a certain degree that's, you know, and they research. Forgive me if I'm misrepresenting you, but I think it's probably, you know, true to say that you both like researching topics to the death, certainly with Adam and his diet, but, you know, much more so than I do. So I'm very much a generalist. I don't particularly, I like a lot of different things, but I'm not extreme in one particular or a few different areas. So it's interesting that our podcast listening habits are similar, because someone, say, take Tim Ferriss again, he does really dig down into the detail. And it's something that I think his books are great, but I, you know, it wasn't something that I really enjoyed reading, whereas I love his podcast. So it's, there's something there about an investment of time. When I'm reading something, I will definitely read books that are much more in tune with my personality, you know, a general nature. I don't like reading very in-depth, detailed books about stuff. I like big ideas. And whereas a podcast, I'm very happy because I can do other things at the same time. I'm very happy to listen to podcasts that go really into the detail. And in fact, I kind of favor them. So it's just interesting to see how the medium of podcasting has slightly changed my habits for, you know, my information, you know, input, if that makes sense.
I wonder if it's a gender difference.
I don't know, but the thing that's interesting to me is I don't see myself as someone that goes really deep on something, even on diet. You know, it's more like I've gone broad, but I've had to do, I mean, you guys are all laughing, but...
But you read Harvard Medical Journal
papers. I don't understand. That's true, but I don't understand most of it. But I've had to read a lot because I have no background at all in science of any sort, biology or chemistry, like nothing.
Didn't do that at school?
No.
You never went to school.
there's another group that I'm part of, which is I had a very interesting, diverse educational background, but we can save that for another time. But because I don't have that in my background at all, I've had to read quite a lot to understand it at a very basic level. You know, there are people, the people that I'm listening to understand things at a way more complicated, deeper level, and I don't understand 60% of it, 80% of it. You know, I understand, I listen to it or I read it and I get what I get. And really, I only get it to the degree that I can have a conversation with someone else about it.
Adam, do you find it easier to understand, because I know you've been trying to improve your reading speed, do you find it easier to understand a podcast instead of a book?
Do I find it easy to understand a podcast rather than a book? No, but I get them. I get, yeah, that I had to really consider that. I get them in different ways. I often find it easier to retain information if I hear it or if I am in a conversation about it than if I read it. If I read it, I need to read it and reread it and reread it and read it, reread it, or read it somewhere else as well before it kind of sinks in. And things sink in much more easily in conversation.
Got it. By the way, just an earlier point we're going back to, because Lauren, you mentioned like whether people in the UK listen to audio podcasts. There's not much available data, but I did a quick research earlier before we started. And I found something from September 2013 of a survey of different countries around the world and people who stated they downloaded or listened to all online audio content, which includes podcasts, mostly podcasts. And the United States came in fourth after Italy, which was 46% of respondents, United Kingdom 38% of respondents, United States 36%. So even though the producers are based in the US, or a lot of them are, a lot of the ones that you listen to, the audience, I mean, proportionally seems to be about similar, according to numbers from a couple of years ago, though. So
that, it might change. You know.
Yeah, of course. And it might have changed. And a lot of people are saying, I found some numbers from the US, and podcasts, audio podcasts in particular, have found, have had a new life breathed into them in the last few years. Since smartphones and internet connections have gotten a lot better with 3G and 4G. So that's the main thing. And And I think one of the problems with, well, iTunes, part of it, is there's still a lot of the podcasts that are there that stopped in 2008, 2009. And at that time, well, they I don't think they never, iTunes never reorganized how they their interface for the podcast, actually, for most of their content. I don't like the platform either, to be honest. I kind of have to use it for some things because I use a Mac laptop, but I avoid it for most things. I don't buy anything through it. I don't, you know. But anyway, getting back onto this podcast, because I'm just aware of time going by. So another question is like, is there anything about marketing, advertising, how people consume things that you think would be particularly interesting as content or as the theme of the podcast? Or do you think it's more important to have a very set concept, or could it be just a general talk show and choosing random themes every week? Or I say every week, whatever the frequency is, of course.
It might, I don't know, but I kind of like what James was saying before about having one niche, one target group, focus group, one bracket or whatever, and getting deeper into subject matter or following the trend of that group. But it could also be like, okay, well, I'm going to do this one for a month or for a quarter, and then I'm going to change and I'm going to do a different one and we're going to explore similar topics. Or it could be, you know, you do the 20 to 30 bracket and the 30 to 40 bracket and the 40 to 50 bracket all in the same week on the same topic and find the differences in them. And I don't know, but there's something quite interesting about having a group that you revisit regularly and follow the trends, as and that doesn't preclude the possibility of having other groups.
Yeah.
20, 30, 30, 40, 40 to 50. You know, they could all happen simultaneously or in close succession, which could give you a steady stream of good content for your podcast and also be a very interesting thing for an audience listening to it. They get to know the people like James and Lauren and me, you know, if they followed us over the course of a year, having an ongoing conversation about what's currently happening, what we're currently listening to. I don't know how frequently my listening habits or my consumption habits change to keep that interesting. Like if we did this again next week or next month, I don't imagine it would have changed massively, but there would be some progression, I'm sure. You know, one thing I'd stop listening to, one thing I'd start listening to, I'd buy a new set of headphones at some point and, you know, whatever that is. But I don't know if it would be as rapid as might be useful. But maybe that's what's useful. Who knows?
Another interesting thing, actually, is what James touched upon, which is maybe it's, you know, when something that I said, and he said maybe it's gender. And whilst I don't think that it's completely black and white in terms of male, female divide, like I definitely think that having both men and women speaking on the podcast is very, just adds an extra layer. That's one of my frustrations with some of the podcasts that I listen to, is that there are very rarely female guests. And when there are, I really, really love listening to them because it's just a different flavor and different perspective as well. So that's one thing that I would add.
I agree. I think it's absolutely important to have well, women, and of course, for sure.
That's interesting. And I don't think that's the case with like the health podcast that I've been listening to.
Oh, really?
Right.
Like it may not be balanced 50-50, but there have been lots of conversations and interviews with female health professionals, doctors, nutritionists.
Is it an assumption that topic matter is more interesting to women, or
I don't know. It may just be that there are more women operating at that level in that field than there are in business. I mean, I'm you know, business isn't really my thing, you know, high business, but I know that there is an ongoing conversation, you know, out there in the world about gender equality in the boardroom. And the fact that there's that conversation going on would say that there is a disparity between the men and the women who are involved, which would lead to a disparity in the number of women being interviewed on these podcasts with Tim Ferriss or James Altucher or whoever else. And it's not because they don't want to have women, it's just because the available pool of women operating at that level might not be available. And that could be wrong, but...
It's also, I think, because of the conversations, like, the way Tim Ferriss talks and the way he writes, it's very blokey. It's like, it's, you know, 30-year-old tech geeks like me, Adam and Willem. Yeah, and even though Davina, my wife, likes his stuff, she won't consume it to the same level that I do. But Marie Forleo, Adam, have you ever watched any of her stuff?
No.
You throw
it. You would.
It's so much for a female audience. Yeah. Like, she really, like, women just lap it up. They love it. It's the way, but she speaks in their language. Yeah, and that might be part of the difference between the two as well. Like, but, I mean, the way Tim Ferriss talks and the way Marie Forleo talks is just different. Ramit Sethi and Marie Forleo are a good contrast. And I think they've been on each other's stuff. Like, he's been on some of her stuff, and she's been on some of his stuff. But the way they talk, one's very blokey, and one is totally for the women. Yeah. And that might be... It's interesting to look at the audience, women as an audience, men as an audience, the way they speak, but then also the way we interact.
I was going to ask about that, actually. And I'm asking this to you, Willem, because you might know, but have you got any information on what the gender split is between audience? Are more men listening to podcasts than women? Could that be a factor in why there are more men being interviewed, talked to, or interviewing themselves? Sorry, not interviewing themselves, but doing the interviewing. That would have been a dangling modifier right there. You know, is it just that there's a bigger audience for men?
I don't know, actually. I did read a couple of articles of a fairly recent research in the US about podcast listening that they published a little bit of information. The main thing I figured out is it's very difficult for the industry, like in podcasting, to figure out what's going on with the audience, because they're only finding out about the audience via proxies. So there's not very firm measures of figuring out exactly how many people listen to what and for how long. Because it's very fragmented between the different platforms people use to be able to download or listen to podcasts. So there's proxies in terms of how many people visit and, you know, like the Google kind of analytics that are going to be saying, well, the gender split is this, 50-50. But I don't know what it is specifically. I have to go and fish back and find the articles that I found. But I don't know there was much about gender. There was like listening time, what platforms were used and things like that. But also, it might change once you go into how long, different niches of different podcasts. But it seemed to be, I mean, just exploring Stitcher, and this is by no means any kind of like statistical validated research, but browsing through shows on Stitcher of what's popular, and they seem to be very male dominated. But I could be completely wrong. I don't know.
Well, that would be interesting for this podcast. People can see podcasts.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's another question I'd be interested in. If I come up with a better answer, I'll put it in the notes and links when we publish the podcast. Another question on... So, of course, a lot of podcasts have kind of jingle musics, intros, some sounds. What are your feelings about that? Like, what kind of music should I have? Should I have music to go along?
The way Tim Ferriss has moved. At the beginning, it was very just like this. And then he's put in some music and he's put in like... And it has a definite structure. So there definitely needs to be some kind of hero's journey type story through the podcast. Don't you think, Adam?
Definitely.
Adam hates the idea of a hero's journey.
No, that's not true. I think it's a...
Is it an overused idea?
No. It's not that it's an overused idea. I think it's absolutely perfect. I think it's overused by my dad. So... For the listeners, there's been a bit of an ongoing joke that James tries to wind me up about the hero's journey, but it's really only my dad that winds me up using the hero's journey. But thankfully, it's toned down a little bit recently.
I just see the hero's journey everywhere. I mean, that's the idea of a story in a podcast, the beginning and the music, and you know you're getting into something and all of that.
I totally agree with you,
and
James.
And then they have to confront the jingle and then get home again and... Yeah.
I love Jingles.
And all of that like in an hour and a half maybe.
I actually love jingles, and the jingle for cereal, whenever I hear it now, I just get like little shivers. I'm like, oh yeah, we get to listen to another episode of cereal.
It's an audio brand. That's all the jingle is.
So what do you think I should have? Like, should mine be like, what, jazzy, funk, rock, any kind of music that should go along?
I can suggest a load.
Yeah, James is probably the person to suggest music. Although he'll probably suggest like Trent Reznor or something.
No, but it has to match Villain. So it'd be this kind of laid back kind of, you know, like. I kind of imagine this kind of.
I know.
Crossover jazz electronic. Kind of forward-thinking.
French rap.
Looking forward-thinking. Not too much like elevator music, though.
No, elevator music. It would be like edgy, cool, but traditional at the same time.
And French.
No, it has to be French.
I don't think it really needs to be French.
Willem's a global citizen.
I don't know whether you need music, Willem. I think it could just be, and again, like if you watch Marie Forleo's introductions to her videos, it's a little like, a snippet off kind of off camera of of like saying something, and I can imagine you having a little thing, you know, where you go you do your French bouff or whatever it is, and I'm trying to shrug my shoulders and be very French, and it's a lot.
What's
of
the audio
signals,
equivalent of me raising my shoulders and going
yeah, exactly, do that a little bit louder and closer to the mic.
Just pick something, you know, ask everybody what's your distinctive phrase or thing and have that.
Also, some people on their podcast have like a different voice to introduce the podcast.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Like so if they're American, they're gonna have somebody with an English voice that's totally different to say to introduce it, and then the host takes over again.
I don't like that.
No?
No, I find it a little strange.
I kind of found it strange too, actually, but
me too.
Yeah. Like Tim Ferriss introduces his own podcast. I kind of like that. There's like a short introduction to what's going to be talked about and who they're talking to.
And he records the intro separately. So he has the intro as a setup for what's happening.
Yeah.
But obviously after the podcast has been recorded.
Yeah. Got it. All right. I'll look at that. And maybe a closing section. So I know there's more work to be done in specific sections, but I was thinking, okay, well, what could be a way to close it and conclude? I could ask a question like, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Yeah, you could do that.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Well, there's more flavors than that. I'm actually asking, because, well, if we talk again, then there's not much point in asking that question, but...
Okay, well, if I'm going to choose ice cream, Ben and Jerry's, right? And usually something with two things in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's the cheesecake one? Strawberry cheesecake or something like that? Okay.
No, it's just got to be something with two things in it. I couldn't just have plain vanilla. It'll be vanilla with like caramel tutu or the what's the one with jam, peanut butter, but it has to be two things.
It's nutty nutty peanut butter or something like that. But you know what's funny, James? Did you know that that's what Ben and Jerry's built their brand on, to have lots of different stuff in and like not just one flavor?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, a lot of chunks. That's what they built themselves on, to be known for. Well, you know, having all the milk come from Vermont cows in the first place, and trying to be like as, you know, local and sustainable and socially responsible as possible. But the main other thing from the product perspective is to have lots of stuff in there, so multiple flavors together.
Because that's why, I mean, if I'm going to choose a Häagen-Dazs, it'll be Häagen-Dazs with something in it. But I'll always default to Ben and Jerry's. Always, just like, okay, which one do I feel like, guys?
Have you read their book, the Ben & Jerry's Double Dip?
No.
I highly recommend that from a business perspective. It was one of the precursors of like any kind of social responsibility in business. One of the first books to come out with the idea.
And do you know that, I can't remember if it was Ben or Jerry, but one of them left the company to become an advocate for low sugar, low carb, you know, for health and for not eating ice cream.
All right, what other flavors have we got, Adam and Lauren?
Well, I don't tend to eat much ice cream these days because it tends to be very high in sugar. But up until that point, It was always cookie dough.
But didn't you find an alternative recently?
Yeah, paleo ice cream. So actually, all three of us had paleo ice cream fairly recently when we were together. I can't even remember what it was made with. I made it with Gavin. I can't even remember what we put in. But paleo ice cream is a good alternative, you know, sweetened with honey or, you know, preferably raw honey or xylitol or something like that. Or even just some berries.
The base was coconut cream, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Lauren, do you enjoy or eat ice cream?
I love ice cream. I don't have, although it's not something that we really eat because Adam doesn't allow it in the house.
it's just too high a risk for me to have it in the house. You know, if it was there, I'd eat it because I do love it. And the go-to flavor is cookie dough. I think at some point I'm going to have to make a paleo cookie dough ice cream.
There is a recipe for that.
Well, because you can do paleo cookies, so you can do paleo cookie dough, and you can do paleo ice cream, so there's no reason that you couldn't do a high-fat, low-carb cookie dough ice cream.
Oh my God, the possibilities are endless.
I know!
You can paleo everything.
It's like the hero's journey. I come back home to find, you know, what I was really looking for was here all along.
Is it? Yeah, that's what happens in the hero's journey. You go on a quest,
find out
that you had the ingredients for ice cream all along.
Yeah.
It's very strong.
All I can say about ice cream flavors, I can't pick one, but ice cream in Italy.
You can't pick one flavor.
but as long as you're in Italy, it's good.
Oh, it's got to be. Okay, got it. So it's not about the flavor, it's about the place.
I mean, Ben and Jerry's is fine, but Italian gelato is, you can't beat that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, I guess we'll conclude there. Is there anything else you want to add that you're burning to add before we conclude?
I got nothing burning.
That was really great. I think it was really, really, really interesting. I only did like the barest minimum preparation before having this conversation. So it's really great to have you for this. I learned a lot about how people listen to podcasts, how you guys listen to podcasts, and a lot to take into consideration for the creation and next steps for this particular podcast. Next I'm like having conversations with a few other people. I'd like to talk to people on another panel and we'll talk some more and maybe record some other episodes in the future.
This has been really fun. Like I've never recorded a podcast episode before. And it's been quite interesting because I know all of you very, very well. And for a lot of years, you know, Lauren for the least amount of time, actually for maybe 4 years, 5 years now, but you guys I've known for 10 to 15 years, James even a little longer. So, but it's very interesting because this conversation has been very similar to the conversations that we have when we get together, but it's also really interesting to have like a topic and have a topic be a focus because it kind of, I don't know, it's like there's something that kind of allows us to get into it and kind of pull it apart a little bit and wrestle with it and grapple with it and figure it out. And makes me think about it in a way that I wouldn't ordinarily. So it's been really fun, and I'd be very, very happy to do this more with you.
Yeah,
we came to this podcast with a very specific kind of intention to explore something, and that led a certain quality to the conversation.
Yeah. Great. No, this was really, really good. It was a very good conversation. I really enjoyed as well, like having a specific topic to explore and talk through, which also led to some things that we don't usually talk about or a new way. So the running thing throughout, it's going to be in there. I've been like wondering whether I should say it all along. But James, how much your beard is grating against your mic? I don't think it's going to come through the whole thing.
I have no idea.
Yeah, James, you got to come clean shaven to the next one.
You got to give up the hipster beard.
We all shaved before.
It's not a hipster beard.
The mustache is kind of hipster. Okay, cool. Thank you very, very much for your time. We'll stop there. And hopefully we'll plan some other and come up with a new topic to talk about next time. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.